The first scripture that we'll look at tonight when we get going in our Bible study will be Hebrews chapter 2. If you want to turn there, you go ahead and may. I think that'll be the first one we look at. I'm going to refer back to Ephesians chapter 1 and one of the verses there as well. But I want to do a little bit of review from last week. I began to give you some principles on kingdom authority. We introduced this series quite some time ago, and then before the service tonight, Faith was playing Kingdom Authority on the piano. I don't know if anybody noticed that, and so maybe we can get the words to that and put it on the wall. It's not, it's in the hymn book she had, but not in our hymn book, and maybe we can learn how to sing that song. I think most of you know it already anyway. Now, here was a principle, one of the very first principle I gave that had to do with kingdom authority last week, and I said, strength comes from surrendering. Where you give up all control, you surrender. A key is surrender. So, we are, and the Bible uses this phrase often, to be slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, we looked at last week in Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, where Paul said he was a servant, and it's the same word for a slave. A slave, in that particular text, and several just like it, by the way, is one, speaks of one who is in a permanent relationship to servitude, and his will is swallowed up in the will of another. So our wills are supposed to be swallowed up in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I spent some time on that. Then we begin to look at Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, and as an example of kingdom authority. And as we looked at that passage, we said, in summary, the whole matter of authority is this. You cannot be over those things that God wants you to be over until you are under those things that God wants you to be under. In other words, the father can have no authority in the home until he has surrendered to the leadership of Jesus Christ. Mothers can't pray with authority for their children when they don't have a submissive spirit to their husbands. Pastors cannot lead or teach or preach with the anointing and supernatural power of the Holy Spirit without being broken and surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ and the authority of the Word and the commands of the Spirit. So the secret to kingdom authority is surrender. Absolute, total, complete surrender. Then it's kind of like when you say, you know what, Lord, I just give up. I'm in your hands. You do whatever. Then we looked at the source of kingdom authority, and I'll tell you what, one thing, it's not us. The source of kingdom authority is not us. It comes from above, and we looked at John 5 and also again in Luke 10 there. And then we had a little bit of a challenge on kingdom authority, and the challenge was simply this. It's for us to get it, to surrender, to completely surrender so we can enjoy kingdom authority. Now, I'm going to say something tonight. I have a lot of things to say tonight, not long in length, but a lot of different things to point out. There are some well-meaning believers who are in the body of Christ who believe that salvation is the elimination of all pain and suffering. And I'll tell you a couple in a minute that I know of. But most people, when they get saved, they become a believer, sometimes it makes life harder on them. Because all their friends are lost, and so they're like, "Man, this guy, this girl, she lost it. He's lost it. They're nuts." And your family sometimes will disown you. We have at least two families in our church that were disowned by some of their other families because they became believers in Christ. So sometimes that happens. It's not true that all pain and suffering is eliminated. That doesn't make any difference whether you're saved or lost. The gospel. And you've heard the phrase, the prosperity gospel. The gospel is not the gospel of cash and health and wealth. The truth of spiritual authority has been distorted because of this dominion theology gospel saying that you can simply, and I used this phrase last week, name it and claim it as part of your authority as a believer. Now, can we, with kingdom authority, speak our way to prosperity and riches? No. But there are several people that think they can. Can we curse cancer and cause it to go away because we have kingdom authority? So I'm talking to a lady one day, and I believe she was diagnosed with cancer, just got diagnosed with it, and she didn't seem to bother at all. She goes, "I'm just going to refuse it." I says, you're going to what? She says, I'm going to refuse it. I'm not going to let it come into my body. You do not have that kind of authority. Okay? So what I'm going to say is, we have authority, but it's a little bit limited. For instance, can we defy and subdue wild animals? Can we say, lion, come here, submit to me? It's not going to happen. He might come over and eat you, but he's not going to come over and submit to you. So there are limits and there are privileges that go along with kingdom authority. It's a wonderful truth. But if it's not to be refused or confused or abused. And people love to abuse it, especially the charismatic crowd and those that are going way over in that area. It is a powerful responsibility that's been given to us by God himself when we become his children. Now, there is a difference between authority in the spiritual realm and authority in the physical realm. Before sin cursed, the natural man had authority over the things that God created. Adam, the Bible said in Genesis, had dominion over the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and over the fish of the sea. Genesis 1:28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And Psalm 8, verses 6 through 8 seem to back that up. But when they were cast out of the garden, if you remember, the authority was lost over the physical. Today, Christians have been given authority, it's spiritual authority, and it's over the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's who we have authority over, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We don't have authority over mosquitoes. You know, when it warms up and the mosquitoes start coming out, you're not going to say, mosquitoes, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. If you're out here, they ain't going to leave you alone. Unless the guy sprays again this year, and he hasn't yet. You don't have any control over mudslides. You don't have any control over storms or anything like that at all. You know, Jesus, I think, well, there's a couple, Elijah, but for the most part, the apostles didn't. Jesus had authority over nature. He said to the raging sea, peace be still. And it was still. I promise you, if you go out in a storm and say, peace be still in the name of Jesus, I doubt that the storm's going to stop like that. So you have authority, but it's somewhat, in some of those ways, limited. If a grizzly bear was coming at you, I don't know why I wrote grizzly bear in my nose, it kind of just came to my mind, and you said stop, he's not going to stop. Now, if you play dead, he might. But if you command him, it ain't going to happen. Now, these are part of the natural world and the curse that comes with it. And if you disturb beasts or like throw a stone in a hornet's nest like we used to all did when we were kids, you might get stung. I remember one time I was riding my mini bike around a field and the grass was about that high and I was just blasting through it and I was having a good time. But then I went over one of these like a little hummock in the ground and I got hung up on it. And it was full of ground bees. They are the most miserable, aggressive bee there is. And they were not happy with me. And I left my mini bike there, and I took off running for the house just as fast. I probably got stung about 6 times. Good thing I'm not allergic to bees. And then we went back there at night with some gasoline and a torch. And we fixed their wagon, Marty. I tell you, we took care of those ground bees. And I got my mini bike out of there first. So, you know, I couldn't tell them, don't bite me in Jesus' name. That's not going to happen. The spirit-filled life is not a guarantee of protection from the physical curses of the natural world. All right, so my first point, we have been given authority, it's a spiritual authority, and it's over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Secondly, while our authority is limited now, just so you know, one day it'll be fully restored. That's going to be awesome. One day our bodies will be redeemed. Then we will have authority over the material universe. We'll have the authority. You realize there won't even be any disease there? But we don't have that now. Now, I want you to notice something in Hebrews chapter 2, if you're there in verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou hast visited him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Ah, see that, Pastor? We got authority. Hang on. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Do you see two little words there that say not yet? The curse of sin is still on the natural world. But one day that curse of sin will be lifted. And kingdom authority that we have in this age is spiritual authority. Believer, have God's Spirit living within us. Look at 2 Peter just a little bit to your right there. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. While we get more in Christ than we lost in Adam, we are waiting for the full inheritance when Jesus comes again. I'll say that like this. There is a better day of coming. Amen. What's that song say? There's a great day of coming, a great day of coming. That day's coming. God told Adam and Eve that they would die the very day they sinned. And yet, you read the scripture, and it tells us that they lived for many centuries and had sons and daughters. Noah, something like 930 years old or something like that. Now, is that a contradiction in the Bible? The day you sin, you're going to die, yet he lived 930 days. That's not a contradiction. Man is what? Body, soul, and spirit. Now, let me tell you, explain to you how Adam died as a result of his sin. First of all, he died immediately in his spirit. So when Adam sinned, his spirit died immediately. We say, what's that? He was separated from God. The Lord of life moved out of Adam, and now he was dead, as the Bible says, in trespasses and sin. Death not only separates the soul from the body, it separates the spirit from God. They died spiritually immediately when they sinned. Secondly, he died progressively in his soul. His mind became like a garden of weeds. Shortly after Adam ate the forbidden tree, Adam said what? He said, God says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said what? I was afraid. He used to walk in the cool of the day with the Lord, and now all of a sudden, he's afraid. And shame and fear and negativism, it filled his mind. And so God to Adam was no longer somebody to walk with, but somebody to hide from. Now God had to chase us to save us, somebody said. So he was dying progressively in his soul. And thirdly, he'll die ultimately in his body. Adam's body, with the seed of death in it, existed 930 years. You know what Adam was like? You can think about it like this. Adam was like a Christmas tree. You take a Christmas tree that's cut off from its roots. It's brought into the house. It's decorated all up. And in some ways, it looks better in the house than it did out in the wild. But what happened when it was cut off from the source of life will show sometime, maybe after the New Year's, sometime in there. Now, you'll walk into somebody's house at Christmas, and you'll say, that's a nice tree. And they'll say, yeah, we got a living tree. It might look beautiful in living, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's not living. It's dying. It's been cut off. It was dead when it was cut off from the source of life. And so was man. So we're like a Christmas tree in that while we're cut off from God, ultimately we will die physically. And then, now listen closely, when you were born again into the family of God, God began to reverse that process in your life. Spiritually, Adam died immediately. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Faith, I thought we had these for the wall, but I turned behind me. I don't see them up there. The deaf guys have asked me if we could put these on the wall. I ain't going to be the one to put them on. You guys are going to have to keep up with that when that happens, Uriah. Good luck with that. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. So when we were born again, God begins to reverse this process. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:11, and let me read it. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, whereas Adam dies immediately in his spirit, when you were born again, you were instantly justified in your spirit. Instantly. It happened immediately at salvation. Our Lord paid for our righteousness in full. That's what Jesus did. Now I want you to take your Bibles to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 3. In verse 24. So here the Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter 4 and verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 8, blessed is that is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sins. That's a blessing. Our sins are forgiven. But that scripture says that God will not impute sin to us. Do you realize if God did not impute that sin on the Lord Jesus, but put our sins on our account, do you understand that we would all be eternally lost? So praise the Lord for verse 8. To him the Lord will not impute sin. Secondly, so Adam died immediately. When you're saved, you're justified immediately. Adam died progressively in his soul. You are sanctified progressively in the soul. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We are growing day by day, and everything that you need to grow, God gives you. Thirdly, joyfully, this process culminates when we are ultimately glorified and get our glorified body, and that's called the redemption of the body. Now, this stage, look at Romans chapter 8, we're still waiting for. This is like the not yet of Hebrews chapter 2. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now that's not yet happened, but it's going to happen. One, things will be restored. When we are born again, we become a child of God and receive from God his nature. Along with this, you needed a legal standing with the Father. This legal standing is called adoption. We read about it in Ephesians chapter 1, and you read about it here again in Romans chapter 8. A part of that adoption is the redemption of the Bible. Now, in Bible times, if a man had a son by a slave girl, and wanted this son to legally inherit his estate, because they would sometimes, they would have a legal adoption ceremony. You know, when we adopted Jamie and Lily, this was quite a process, but finally, and several of you were there, but we had this legal adoption ceremony, and we went to the courthouse and all of that stuff. You were there, weren't you, Amy, I think? And so it was, this is what they do. Now, during this ceremony in Bible times, the child was not only engrafted into the family tree, but he was also presented with the future promise of his father's estate. Man, that's an inheritance this guy got. He wasn't given the full inheritance as a child because he couldn't handle it. That would come later. We don't have everything that God has for us right now. Some of it is going to come later. The Word of God teaches that not only do we have the indwelling spirit by our new birth, but we also have the legal rights and riches of a son by adoption. That's what we have. People need to understand these wonderful truths. The spirit of adoption is our present possession and the pledge of the future inheritance that's to come. We've been adopted into the family of God. There's a lot more coming. There's a great day a-coming. There's a better day a-coming. Our full inheritance is the redemption of the body. And all that comes with redemption the day that we got saved. But we don't have it all yet. Until then, we live in a world that is saturated with sickness and war and hate and confusion and sin and everything else. But one day, beloved, it'll be gone. Now, without a proper perspective, we could easily become confused and discouraged and wonder if we have any authority at all. But we do. We are not helpless. But our authority today is a spiritual authority. And although the world, the flesh, and the devil wage war against us personally, it has no legal power over us in this present age. We have been adopted into the family of God. So, our power is limited. Let me review. Not all recognize that, but because some of it is not yet. There is a not yet to be reckoned with because the curse of sin is still on the natural world. So here you are as a believer, a pilgrim, and you're living in this world that's wicked and wretched and sinful and all kinds of disease and sicknesses and all kinds of that stuff. But this is where you are. But the kingdom authority that you have isn't over all of that stuff. The kingdom authority that we have is spiritual. That's why we, even though we live in this world, that's why we can walk in authority and we can walk in victory, because we have kingdom authority. Remember, there's a better day coming. So then I said, Adam died spiritually immediately. He was separated from God. Progressively, he was dying in his soul, and physically, he was dying, and then at 930 or whatever he was, he died. But God reversed that process when we are saved. And at salvation, you were instantly justified. God sees you just as if you had never sinned. You grow progressively in your soul as you are set apart and sanctified for the glory of God. And the process is completed when we are glorified in the redemption of the body. So, kingdom authority doesn't mean all right now, only to the charismatics. It doesn't mean all right now. But it does mean that you have spiritual authority over the world and over the flesh and over the devil. That's what you have. But you don't have it over sickness in the natural realms of the world. And I was thinking about revival. I was driving down the road thinking about revival. And we haven't seen genuine revivals in America, really, that are nationwide in a long time. And we haven't really seen that many pockets of revival in one place at any given time recently either. But a few years ago, there was one in Florida, and they called this revival. And they were claiming to have all authority. I think it was called the Brownwell or a Brownell or Revival, whatever that thing was called. Do you remember that, Bill? And it was wild. The news on it was, it was fun to read. It was quite entertaining. But one guy, so my brother decides he's going to go to this revival meeting. So he goes, I watched them restore a man's leg. I'm like, you did? Yeah. I says, okay, you're telling me a guy had no leg, and when he left, he had a leg. No, I didn't say that. Now, didn't it sound like he just said that? Yeah. I said, it's okay, explain. He said they measured his leg, and it was, 9 inches. After the service, they measured it, and it was 10 inches. All you got to do is move the dummy end of the tape measure, and you can go from 9 to 10 pretty easy. It's not hard. So I'm like, and you call that healing? Yep. When Jesus healed, he didn't heal somebody's ears, a little decimal at a time, or their eyes so that they could see a little bit and then a little bit. I mean, there was that one time he did it, but As a rule, Jesus healed people immediately. And they weren't partially healed, they were completely healed. So people have a little bit of a messed up on this authority business. Don't you get messed up on that. Understand it's spiritual, and we'll continue to talk more about some of the other principles about kingdom authority as we move along. Father, I pray that you'd help us all to walk in victory. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Paul wrote that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The scriptures never say we're victims. The scriptures tell us we're victors. Along with that, Lord, because we've been adopted into the family of God, we have been given certain legal authority. Now, we still have to place ourselves under the things that are over us if we expect to be over the things that are supposed to be under us. But, Father, I pray in the name of the Lord, you would help people to come to understand these wonderful, wonderful truths. In Jesus' name, amen. I really pray.